Let's all turn to our Bibles, please. And we've been working on a whole series of messages. I'm certainly hoping that you've been paying attention. I trust that you have been. And we've been talking about facing giants in the life of the Christian. And we do have them, because everybody has them. And what precipitated this series of messages that I wrote is that we talked about David and Goliath, and we talked about back then David had a big giant. What was his name?
Goliath,
of course. And Christians have giants too. We don't call him Goliath anymore. We call him a whole bunch of other things. And what we did was we'd send out cards to everybody, and you filled them out. And I'd asked you one time, you know, what are the giants in your life? And we got 40 some of them back. And Sissy and I, we kind of looked at them, we put them in categories, and we came up with about 20 of them or so, of giants that we all face. And I've been bringing you a series of messages on the giants in the life of a Christian, and hopefully you can remember some of those that I taught you. Hopelessness, guilt, right? Temptation, anger. There's a bunch of them, right? Self-esteem, self-image, a bunch of them. Well, today, I want to let you know that I originally told Yoshiko, who was putting the PowerPoint together for me, I told her that I was going to tackle today the giant of burdens, all the burdens that we carry. How many have burdens? Anybody got burdens? We all got burdens, right? And so I was sitting at my computer, you know, typing down some notes and researching my scripture, and the Lord just kept pounding me and pounding me. And the burdens didn't come. Everybody ever have that experience? I mean, it just wasn't coming. And a word kept coming to my mind. And I said, okay, Lord, then I'm going to switch. I'm not going to do the one I thought I was going to do, which was burdens. I'm going to be obedient to you, and I'm going to switch gears. And I've been telling Jimmy about that sometimes. Just switch gears. When the Lord talks, Jimmy, you go. And I wasn't prepared for that. And so I was up last night and, you know, researching my scripture passages. And so I'm bringing the message today that the Lord clearly told me to bring. And there must be a reason for it. And I don't know the reason for it. But somebody here is going to know the reason for it. Somebody's going to know why I chose this one. Does everybody kind of get the idea? And so today I'm not going to talk about the one I thought I would do. I did a different one that the Lord told me to do. It's called depression. And so for some reason, and you probably know better than I, why the Lord told me not to do burdens and he told me to do depression. Somebody here clearly knows why. And I don't know who that is. But two people do. Him, and who else? You. Anybody here struggle with depression from time to time? This is the reason why. This message is for you. Not from me. It's not from me. It's from who? From God. Let's turn in our passage of scripture. We're going to go to 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 2 to 4.
So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, may it be ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judea, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors."
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on here first. He just did an unbelievably fascinating thing before he said that. He had tackled 850 false prophets of Baal. 850 false prophets of Baal. He called them out. He defeated them. How many? 850 false prophets. He conquered them. 850. He just did a mighty deed in the hands of the Lord. He just defeated 850 false prophets. King Ahab is going to watch this. He really, truly thought that 850 false prophets were better and bigger than Elijah's God. He really thought, hey, they're going to take care of this guy. But in fact, through the Lord's might, Elijah beats them. And King Ahab is going back to report to his wife. And her name is what? Jezebel. She's not a nice person. In fact, she's a very nasty person. Fact is, she's such a nasty person. We have that word that we throw around a lot today, don't we? We call women sometimes what? The Jezebel. Negative term. Negative. And so King Ahab is going back to tell Jezebel what has happened. And she's all excited. She's clearly thinking that she's going to hear the message that the 850 prophets beat Elijah and his God. That's what she's expecting. But King Ahab comes back and says to her, Jezebel, I got some bad news for you. They're all dead. All of them. And Elijah, what? Killed them. Jezebel is furious. And so, if in today's world, what she would have done, if she lived in the 2014s, she would have sent him a text message. She had sent him a text message. It would have went, you are dead by tomorrow. Hashtag Jez. That's what she would have got. She'd have sent him a text message. You are what? Dead. By when? Tomorrow. Hashtag Jez. And this guy who just beat up on what? 850. He just got done doing it. 850 prophets he beat up on. He's now afraid of Jezebel. He probably just got back from the movie, you know, the 50-foot giant killer woman. And he's thinking, oh my gosh, here she comes. And this guy who just got done beating up on 850 prophets is running for his life because he thinks that she's going to what? And the optimum word is what he thinks. How many know thinking gets you in trouble? How many know your thinking is what the problem is? How many looked in the mirror today and saw your problem? How many of you understand that your problem looked right back at you? Because what he's afraid of is what he thinks, not what he did. How many understand there's a big difference there? A lot of our fear, a lot of our anxiety, a lot of our depression comes from what? What we think, not what we did. Elijah just beat up on 850 prophets. And now he's afraid of the 50-foot giant woman. When we are depressed, brothers and sisters, we lose all awareness of God's presence. We lose all awareness of God's protection. We lose all awareness of God's provision. How many of you know God's been taking care of you for a long time? Amen. How many are thanking God he took care of you or you wouldn't be here today? How many absolutely know for positively sure you may not yet be where you want to be, but you're thanking God you're not stuck where you were? How many can say an amen to that too? And I'll tell you right now, there's no part-time God. There's just part-time Christians. There's not a halfway God. There's halfway Christians. And that which God did on our life, he's going to continue to do it. If God delivered Elijah from 850 prophets, he can take care of her too. But where's the problem starting? Right here. The problem is starting right here. We feel totally abandoned when we are depressed. We feel totally abandoned by our loved ones. We feel totally abandoned by our friends. And even we feel totally abandoned by the Lord. How many know that's just not true? It's what we what? What we think. And where does Satan do his best work? In your backyard?
Nope.
Or in the fertile soil of your mind? What do you think, Butch? Right here. Where he does his best work. It's where he always does his best work. I'll tell you about General Robert E. Lee. You guys ever heard of a guy named Robert E. Lee?
Yep.
Uh-huh. The Confederate general. The Confederate general didn't have enough soldiers. And he knew that the Union Army was going to beat up on him. He knew it. He didn't have enough. So what he did was he got a train. And he put his limited amount of Confederate soldiers on the train. He drove it into a town. He unloaded them to everybody's witness. The soldiers hurried up down about 4 miles and got back on the train. He drove to another town and unloaded the same guys again. And they saw these guys unloading. Whoa, look at all the soldiers they got. They drove down as fast as they could another couple miles, got back on the train, and got unloaded again. He did this 10 times, unloading the same soldiers. And the Union spy said, there's no way we can win. Look at all the soldiers they got. And it's the same guys. And they packed up their arms and ran for the hills. They didn't have to fire a shot. Where did they lose the battle? Where did the Union Army lose the battle? Right here. It's what they perceived, but not the facts. It's right here. How many have an endless CD player brain? How many lay their head down, that brain just keeps on going? How many want to hit the pause button? That pause button ain't happening. And the louder you try to push the button, the louder gets the voices. How many sometimes hears those depression voices? Make friends for them. Robert E. Lee knew psychologically. He knew psychologically that if he could get them to think depressive thoughts, they would be depressed. You know, I counsel a lot of people. That's what I do in my day job. Let me tell you a thing about counseling people. I can absolutely tell you what will happen in my counseling sessions downstairs. This is what's going to happen. It happens every single time. Somebody's going to come to me and they're going to be really downtrodden. And I'm going to say to them, well, let's talk about your blessings. And they're going to say to me, I don't have any blessings. That's what's going to happen. That's the way it always happens. It always happens that way. Because our eyes are focused on what? The problems. Our eyes are always focused on the problems. How many of you in this room are blessed? Turn to somebody and say, I'm blessed. I am blessed. How many got problems too? Wait a second. Are you the same people who said you were blessed? Wait a second now. How many of you in this room got it all together? Nobody? Jimmy, you got it all together? Butch, you got it all together? Sue, you got it all together? Turn to somebody and say, I ain't got it all together. Now turn to that person and say, but I'm still blessed. Yeah, I'm still blessed. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans 12:2.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Yes. And listen to me, church. That's hard work. That's hard work. When you get up in the morning and you think the things you've been thinking for 25 years, that's not hard work. When you get up in the morning and you think those things you've always thought, you're on automatic pilot. How many got automatic pilot? You know it's going to come. You know it's going to come. Your thoughts are going to come the way they always have. And what we try to do is to renew the thinking process. Can you do that by pushing a button? All of a sudden you're thinking different? No. It takes an effort. It takes work. It takes hard on your knee, praying to God, work to change your thought process. And some people just don't want to work. They want an easy fix. Is there an easy fix to that, you think? It's hard work. It's really, really hard work to renew your mind. How many have been thinking your way for a long time? How's that working out for you? I mean, come on, really? How many of you do not need practice being you? How many got you honed by now? How many of you get up in the morning and say, here I am? It's like, here's Johnny. Right? In your thought process, it's like when you walk through the door, Eric and I say, there's Eric. It's kind of like, you know, you have to change the way you think. You have to change that thought process. I think sometimes, brothers and sisters, we see a big devil and a little God. And what we got to do is see a big God and a little devil. Right? We got to keep our eyes off of the big devil and get him back down to manageable size. We got to concentrate, brothers and sisters, on a big God and a little devil, not a big devil and a little God. We have to change the way we what? Think. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10.
He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too."
Signs of depression in the believer, and there are three of them. Signs of depression in the believer, and there are three of them. The first one is every situation looks undefeatable. Everything looks what? Hopeless. Everything looks too big. I can't possibly overcome it. Everything in my life looks defeatable. The second sign of a Christian in depression is consumed with thoughts about yourself. Look what he's saying. He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty." Who's he talking about? Him. "The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill who? Me." First person. Christians who are depressed are thinking about who?
Themselves.
How's that working out? Not too good. He's saying pretty clearly there, he is clearly saying, you know what? They're now out to get who?
Me.
And basically what he's saying is nobody cares about who?
Me.
Me. Why hasn't anybody visited me? Why hasn't anybody called me? Why didn't anybody say hello to me? How many understand? That's the way it works, right? It's the way it works. Why hasn't anybody called me? Why hasn't anybody visited me? Why hasn't anybody said hello to me? Why hasn't anybody called me? It's always about who?
Me.
Me. And depressed individuals think about themselves. Elijah is feeling abandoned. He's feeling that nobody is experiencing what he is experiencing. The thing about the burdens I would have told you today was this. There was a man carrying a cross because Scripture says you want to follow me, guess what you got to do? Pick up your cross. How many know that's what Scripture says? Pick up your cross. And this guy was carrying his cross around the world. And it was so heavy. I mean, he was hardly even being able to stand. Oh, he did not know, how long am I going to be able to carry this cross? It is so big. And to his surprise, there happened to be a store when he was carrying his cross that said, "Exchange your cross here." And he said, "What?" Big sign says, "Exchange your cross here." And so he said, "Man, I'm going to get rid of this one." And so he brought it in, he put it on a shelf, and he said to the storekeeper, "You know what? I want to exchange my cross for something that's better." And the guy said, "Well, shop around. Take any cross that you want." And so he started picking up crosses, some crosses of the patriarchs. And he picked them up and said, "Oh my gosh, there's no way I can't even lift that. There's no way I can even lift that." And so he went down after one cross after another. He said, "Well, let me try that. Oh my gosh, I can't even stand on that one." And he went down and down and down and down. He finally found one. He said, "Oh, this one's not too bad. I'll take this one." And the guy said, "Wait a second, that's the one you brought in."
Yeah.
"That's the one you just brought in." How many know somebody's cross is always heavier than yours? Aren't they? Somebody's crosses that you think have lighter than yours is heavier than the one you're carrying. The reason why they look lighter than yours is because they are carrying it and you are succumbing. You're bowing to the pressure. What we need in this world is less victims and more victors. How many want to be a victor, not a victim? The reason why somebody's crosses seem to be less than yours is because they're doing what with it, church?
Carrying.
They're carrying it. They're standing. Their shoulders are square. Their head is up. It's not that it's lighter. It's just that they're stronger. They're carrying it. And you know how to get stronger, church? By carrying it. Picking it up, sure, right? Carrying it. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9.
"Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering."
Yes. See, we think that no one else is suffering. Just who?
Me.
I'm the only person going through this. I'm it. And Elijah's thinking the same thing. There's only one person left, and it's who? Me. Everybody thinks that. Everybody thinks that where we're in depression, nobody is going to be depressed. Just you. Just you. And it's certainly not true. It's not true at all. When Elijah thought he was the only one left, he's the only one left. Look what he says. Let's go to 1 Kings 19:18.
Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, whose mouths have not kissed him.
God says to Elijah, wait a second. It's not just you. Fact is, I happen to know there are how many? 7,000 like you. 7,000, just like you. You didn't bow down to Baal, and you're being persecuted, and I happen to know there are how many? 7,000 more, just like you. Now, why is that important? It's important to know because the Lord not only sees your suffering, but he sees whose else's. Everybody else's suffering. And when you think you're the only one who is, the Lord God says, no! There are plenty of people that are suffering, and I see them what? All. It's not just you, Elijah. Not just you. Yes, it is you, but it's not you alone. I asked you before I started this teaching to you, how many of you battle with depression? I'll ask you again, how many battle with depression from time to time? Look at the hands. Look at the hands in this room. I'll bet you, Bob, you're about 50% maybe? Easy 50% of us battle with depression. At least. Okay, let's ask another question. Let's be honest with each other. How many have ever taken medication for depression? Including who? Me too. I'm supposed to have it all together? Yeah, right. My all together's not here. She's downstairs somewhere. Hey, guess what? How many know this world is a tricky place? How many know this world's got some problems in it, right? How many know this world's messed up? We all battle with it. We all get our turn at it. The difference is, brothers and sisters, is that we got to fight back. We can't succumb to it. We got to fight back. The third way that we know that a Christian is battling with depression, what's the first one? That they believe that their problems are undefeatable, insurmountable. The second way we know that Christians are battling with depression, their mind is consumed with who?
Themselves.
The third way we know that Christians battle with depression is that they have no hope for the what? For the future. How many of you, brothers and sisters, didn't think you'd make it this far? Well, guess what? Here we are. I'll bet you a lot of us in this room, me included, I'm 63 and I know that surprises you, right? I know, you're my younger brother, right? I know what it's like, and I know what you like. I know this. I was talking to my brother Mark yesterday. Me and Mark, we're brothers in the Lord. We're talking about one of our favorite delicacies in the whole world. We have a delicacy that we love. Don't we, Mark? We love this delicacy. Love it. And some of you love it too. Fact is, Mark and I love it so much, we're going to have a guy's party. We're going to celebrate and have it. It's called Spam. So what's all that? What? Am I hearing yummy?
It's good.
It's good. we were talking to our new friend yesterday, Dante, and he said, oh yeah, man, Spam and Vienna sausages. Oh, it doesn't get better eating than that, does it? And some corned beef hash, or when it comes in the can. Who loves Spam? See, there's some of us. Now, you might be saying unto yourself, well, Pastor Tom, why do you like Spam so much? Well, let me help you out. See, I like Spam because I thought that was the only ham that came in the can when my mom and dad were struggling, and they went down into the welfare office, and they got a big can of Spam. Oh, I love Spam. I also love the peanut butter. Anybody have the big gallon thing of peanut butter? Had all the oil on top. You had to stir that thing. Oh, that was good eating back then, right? And to this day, I still like Spam. I grew up on Spam. Of course, that might explain a lot of things now that I think about it, huh? I know what it's like, And some of you know what it's like. How many know what it's like to have to decide whether to pay a rent or a gas bill? How many knows what that is like? How many know what it's like to juggle? Do I buy the food or buy the school shoes? How many know what I'm talking about? How many know how to put cardboard in the bottom of their shoes? Oh, I know how to do that. Oh, yeah, I know how to do that. Sissy and I raised 4 kids. I know how to do that, and a foster daughter. I know how to do that. I've been there, done that. I sat away at night sometimes wondering, how am I going to do this? Lord, how am I going to do this? I got a gas bill of $400. I got a light bill of $300. I got a rent. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But guess what? Guess what, church? We did it. How many did it? Somehow, we did it. Because the kids are raised, the kids are grown, praise God, somehow we did it. And it wasn't through worrying either. How many understand that? How many ever got a surprise check in the mail and didn't know where it was coming from? You go, what? What? And for those of you young raising on your kids, guess what? And you're going to do it too. You're going to do it. Because the Lord always does it. And what we got to do is get our mind off of today always and get our minds on the future. How many's looking forward to tomorrow already? How many's looking forward to tomorrow? Lord, oh, I'm so excited about tomorrow. And what you're going to do with me? Oh, I can't wait. Some of us are the other way. Oh, it's going to be Monday. Got to go back to work. I can't believe it. Let me sit down and feel sorry for myself. I'm a little depressed. I'm going to start singing that perfect song I have on my CD player. Nobody knows. The trouble I've seen. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. We're going to get through. God's people get through. How many understand that? God is going to take you from the storm and get you to the other side. That don't mean you won't have some holes in your britches, but you're going to get to the other side because God is bigger than your problems. How many say amen to that? It's the truth. It's the truth. He always does. How many's ever lost a job and got a better one? It's the way it works. It's the way it always works. If you keep your mind focused on who? On the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4.
Well, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.
Let me tell you about his prayer, why it doesn't make a lot of sense. Here's why his prayer makes no sense. Are you ready? I want you to think about this prayer. It makes no sense because he's what? Running for his life. If he really wanted to lay down and die, all he really had to do was stop what? Running. And who would have taken care of her? Jezebel was taking care of him. It's kind of crazy, right? Take my life, Lord, take my... Here she comes, here she comes, here she comes. What? Sorry, that making no sense. Come on, ninja warrior princess. That makes no sense, right? Oh, take my life, Lord. Oh, okay. Oh. If you really wanted your life to be over, all he had to do was what? Get me, Jezebel. It's really fascinating, brothers and sisters, that he is saying, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. But what did the Lord just do with him? What? 850 false prophets of Baal. He took care of them, but he's no better than his ancestors. What? How many things has Elijah done through the miracles of God in Elijah's life? And he's saying he's no better than his ancestors. Who's he consumed with? Himself. Let's be bold here today, brothers and sisters. Let's have a little honesty section. Let's be a little bold. Let's be bold. How many of you really, truly are light years ahead of where you were? Isn't that not true? I'm going to give you a psychological test. I'm glad you came today. As soon as I say this sentence, you say the first word that comes to your mind, okay? Here's the good news. I'm not going to grade you. It's not a pass or fail. You don't have to come back and clean erasers. It's okay. Sure. Are you ready? First word that comes to your mind. When I'm happy, I think... What kind of thoughts?
Thought.
When I'm happy, I think... Happy thoughts. When I'm sad, I think...
Sad.
When I'm angry, I think... When I'm depressed, I think... Uh-oh. Wait a second. Let me do that again. When I'm happy, I think happy thoughts. When I'm angry, I think. When I'm sad, I think. When I'm depressed, I think. Uh-oh. So do you think that the way I think could cause me to be depressed? If I think happy thoughts when I'm happy, and if I am sad and therefore I think sad thoughts, how many agree with that too? I mean, it can't be the opposite, right? I'm sad and I think about Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, and I'm sad and I think what? Sad thoughts. When I'm angry, I think what? It makes perfect sense. How many agree with that statement so far? Well, therefore, brothers and sisters, when I am depressed, I think what? Depressive thoughts. So where's my healing then? Is where? Right here. Fact is, it is so simple and so profound that it's profound. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11.
As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind.
Wow, that sounds like a pretty important kind of guy. Don't you think? How many think Elijah must be a pretty important kind of guy? Did he die? No. So where is all this coming from? Let's go to Proverbs 17:22.
A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones.
Wow. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. If you go to a really scary movie, anybody ever see like something like The Exorcist or something? When I still weirded out about that. If you go to a scary movie, you expect to be what?
Scared.
I mean, that like makes perfect sense, right? That wasn't even profound, was it? If you go to a scary movie, you expect to be what?
Scared.
I mean, that's why you're going, right? If you go to a chick flick, a loving kind of thing, you expect to be what?
Bored,
yeah. If you go to a humorous movie, you expect to be what?
Laughing.
Yeah, there's no question. And if you think depressive thoughts, what should you expect to become?
Depressed.
That's the way it works. That's the way it always works. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Wouldn't it be really great if we could all go to our docs that we go to and we get our prescription medications that we all have had and maybe still have? And I'm not suggesting that we don't take them. Not suggesting that. But wouldn't it be great if you could go to a doctor and he gave you a cheerful heart? I'm going to say this in this room. Let's end with this thought. Wouldn't it be really great? No, seriously now. You could go and sit down on somebody's couch and they say, here. And they implant in your chest a cheerful heart. I wonder how soon the depression will leave us. Right there instantly. A cheerful heart is what?
Good medicine.
Good medicine. Now, if you're saying to me in closing this session with me, but Pastor Tom, you don't understand what I'm going through. You made it about who again?
You.
You made it about you. When you say that, but you don't understand. You have no clue about my life. You made it again about who?
You.
It's the way it works. It's the way it always works. Always works. Let's go back to my example in closing this part of the message with you. We'll pick up on it next week. I was counseling a woman where I work. And she was depressed. And she came into this little room where I work. And we went through a whole litany of things. Nice job? Yes. Wonderful marriage? Yes. Beautiful home? Yes. Financially secure? Yes. Drive a new car? Yes. Reasonably healthy? Yes. Why are you depressed? I don't know. Now, there are reasons for depression sometimes when people have a poor diet. There could be some reason for depression when people don't get enough exercise. I understand that. I certainly can understand that there are some physiological reasons for people's depression. I understand that. But that's not the majority of them. The majority of depression starts where? Right here. And what we've got to do, really truly what we have to do, is to fight back. We have to fight back. If you want to defeat the giant of depression, what must you do? Fight. You got to fight back. If you lay down and succumb to it, will you be victorious?
No.
No way. You can't be. It will consume you. It will consume you. How many want to fight? We're going to fight. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to fight this giant of depression in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be victors and not victims. We thank you, Lord, that we do have all of the opportunity within us to fight back. Will this happen today? No. No. Will it happen even tomorrow? Not necessarily, probably not. But can it happen? Can it happen that we can defeat the giant of depression? Well, that's an absolute yes. That's an absolute yes. And we have to do that by the renewing of our minds. So, Lord, help us to have a cheerful heart. Help us to have the mind of Christ. Help us not to be consumed with ourselves. Help us, Lord. Help us to understand, Lord, that there are reasons for which to be joyful. We just need to look around. If every one of us listened to all our blessings here today, we'd be here for the rest of the day. We really would be. Lord, sometimes we're so anxious to get rid of the cross we bear, and we try to see everybody else's crosses. They seem so much lighter than ours, but in reality, they're not. They're probably heavier than ours. It's just it seems that those individuals are carrying it better. That's all. So, Lord, let us go from this place the best that we can, renewing our thoughts, having a cheerful heart, and carrying our cross as well. And all of God's children said,